You've been looking at all that beauty, and now you have to look at me. But hopefully, God will give you grace. If you have your Bibles this morning, and we want to welcome all of our visitors today, and glad to have you here in the service, and trust that you'll receive a special blessing from being here in the service. This morning we're going to be speaking on the subject, Focus on the Family. And we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We have been, last two sermons, we've looked at what the Bible teaches about the marriage relationship between husband and wife, and now we're going to get into the family relationship, parents and children. And I pray that God will bless and lead us. And of course, I'm sure most of you have got some suspicion as to where I got the title for the sermon. I think Dr. Dobson probably will forgive me. And of course, he's no longer with Focus on the Family. But anyway, if you have your Bibles and would like to, or read on the screen, stand with me as we read the scripture together. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture or in the training and admonition of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And I'd like for us to go to the Lord in a word of prayer at this time and ask Brother Mike Manfield, if he will, to lead us in this prayer. Amen. You may be seated. I pray that God will give us grace today as we consider this subject. Our church is a family integrated church, and so families are important to us. But I think as we look across our nation and even around the world, and we'll find that families are in trouble. George Barna and others have done studies and research showing that a large percentage, if not a majority, of young people who have grown up in Christian churches and Christian homes subsequently abandon their faith. They turn away from the Lord. They don't darken the door of the church. Now, if that is true, it would indicate that many, if not most, Christian parents are not doing a very good job of parenting. The most important thing we can do for our kids is to introduce them to Jesus Christ so that they can be transformed by his saving power and grow up to live a life that will give honor and glory to God. It's the most important thing that parents will ever do. But the evidence says that we're not doing a very good job. In these verses that we've read this morning, Paul makes it clear where the focus is. Verses 1 through 3, he places the focus on the children. Then in verse 4, you have the focus on the parents. So we're going to, I don't know if we'll give equal time, but give time to both this morning as we consider this very important subject. Now, I'll admit that there's too much to say in one sermon, but we're going to try to do it in one sermon. So I'll do my best. Point number one, focus on the children. in verses 1 through 3, we find Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving the focus on children. Now, I hope nobody here, children or parents, will think I'm picking on you. I'm trying to deliver the message from God's Word. And so the focus on the children, God's Word to children, and it's a blessing to preach to so many children today. And believe it or not, I can remember when I was a child. And I can remember when I was attending church as a child and sitting back in the pews. I'll admit sometimes I might have stretched out and took a nap. But I did listen. I was paying attention. The Word of God was penetrating into my young heart. And so I know that we've got some great kids here in our church, and I know that they're going to be listening to God's Word today, because God's Word is a plain word. Up until now, Paul has been dealing with the marriage relationship here in back in chapter 5, that relationship between husband and wife. Nothing has been said to or about the children. But here in verses 1 through 3, Paul gives the plainest, the clearest, the most succinct teaching in the New Testament on children's responsibility within the family. So, to all of you children and young people who are out there listening to me, please remember that this is not just my opinion, but it is the divinely inspired Word of God. And so, here in these instructions to children, Paul, first of all, speaks about actions. Children are told to obey their parents. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That's the action demanded by God in His Word. This word in the Greek, obey, means to submit to comply with, to heed, to follow directions and instructions, to be compliant. So the governing principle in parent-child relationships is obedience. This obedience in the home lays the foundation for obedience throughout life. You see, everything in God's universe can be boiled down to obedience. The planets and the stars, the seas and the animal kingdom all operate in strict obedience to the law and commands of the Lord. Humanity is the only part of God's creation that walks in rebellion to the revealed Word of God. As children learn to obey their parents, they are setting the stage for obedience throughout their lives. They are learning to respect authority. Kids and young people, you will always walk under someone's authority. Ultimately, you are learning to walk in obedience to the Lord when you walk in obedience to your parents. And so Paul speaks about action. Obey your parents. But he also speaks about attitudes here in these verses. He says, "Children are also told to honor their parents. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Honor means to respect, to revere, to hold in high regard. And that's God's command to children. Honor your father and your mother. This speaks about a child's attitude toward what his parents tell him to do. A rebellious child may obey the voice of his or her parents, but secretly despise them in their heart. They may obey them outwardly, but while they are carrying out the orders, they may be talking about them, bad-mouthing them, or talking back under their breath. Obviously, that is a wrong attitude. Honor means to respect. It means to hold your parents in high regard and to not undermine their authority. The Bible is clear on this subject of children's attitude toward their parents. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." We have the example of Jesus, of course. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." Here is Jesus, who was the Son of God. He was the creator of heaven and earth. And yet, he was submissive to his parents. And so, this is a plain word, one that cannot be misunderstood. Children, obey your parents. But it is also a propitious word. It says that you are to obey your parents in the Lord. The word propitious means something that is favorable to us. So, if you want your life to have favor from God, then you will obey your parents. Paul expands on the meaning of this over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord." Obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. In the context of the Christian home, God is pleased when children obey their parents. In other words, God is pleased. His favor is upon the family where the children have learned obedience to their parents. And from a negative standpoint, when children refuse to obey and honor their parents, bad things happen. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 17 says, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." Now, I'm not here to tell you that those things are going to literally happen to you, but what the word is saying is when you don't obey and honor your parents, bad things are going to happen. There cannot be any good result. So it's a plain word. It's a propitious word. But it's also a promissory word. Because the scripture says that this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So we are told in verses 2 and 3 that obeying one's parents brings God's promise of blessing upon the child. When a child honors his parents, he is honoring God. And God always blesses those who honor and obey him. So the promise here is twofold. It's very plain in Scripture. First, you have the promise of quality of life. He says that it may be well with you, that you may have the favor of God upon your life. And second, you have the promise of quantity of life. that you may live long on the earth. The Bible is very clear here. The Lord will bless that child who honors his parents. My parents have been gone for a long time, but I still honor them and their memory by trying to live according to the way they taught me. How about you? Would you like to enjoy the favor and blessing of God along with a long life? Then listen to the word of God. Obey and honor your parents. God's promises in his word are true and faithful. And if you'll listen to and obey his promise and his word, I promise you that you'll never regret it. Then not only is it a promissory word, but it's a proper word. He says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Proper, right. The word for right that's translated here in our English Bibles for right is from a Greek word that's the same Greek word that you find over in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, which says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, what Paul is saying here to children and to young people is that if they want to be right, if they want to be righteous in the sight of God, in other words, if you want your conduct to please God, then you will obey your parents. Paul said, there is none righteous. Now, that would seem to rule out our ability to do what is right. And so it might explain why so many kids are not doing right in the family relationship, because they have never come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, that's what truly it brings righteousness. A couple of verses of scripture. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you see, Paul is writing to Christian families. And in the context of the Christian family, where you have mothers and fathers who are Christians, and you have children that we want to bring to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and the only way for us to be righteous and to live lives that will please God is to come to the place where we have personal faith in Jesus Christ. Be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but be found in him, having the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so today, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are right with God, because you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your heart. Then you will want to do what's right. That is, to obey God's commands. And that means obey your parents. Now, you kids, you can relax now. It's the parents' turn. Focus on the parents. God's word to parents. Just one verse. We've been talking to children and the young people. Now it's time to talk to the parents. Verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, we should rejoice in where we are when we consider the past. And I want to just go back to Paul's day and look at the circumstances that existed between fathers and their children in the Roman Empire of Paul's day. And I want to once again quote William Barclay, his the Daily Study Bible, the Letters to the Galatians and Ephesians, pages 208 to 210. Now, I would caution you folks, Barclay has some great stuff in his commentary, but you have to be careful about his theology sometimes, so just to warn you. But here's what he said. He's great on biblical backgrounds. He said there was the Roman patria potestas, the father's power. Under the patria potestas, a Roman father had absolute power over his family. He could sell them as slaves. He could make them work in his fields, even in chains. He could take the law into his own hands, for the law was in his own hands, and punish as he liked. He could even inflict the death penalty on his child. Further, the power of the Roman father extended over the child's whole life for as long as the father lived. A Roman son never came of age. There was the custom of child exposure. Y'all won't think I'm like Marco Rubio, will you? Thank you, Faith. All right. There was the custom of child exposure. When a child was born, it was placed before its father's feet. And if the father stooped and lifted the child, that meant that the father acknowledged the child and wished the child to be kept. If he turned and walked away, it meant that he refused to acknowledge the child, and the child would quite literally be thrown out. There is a letter dated 1 B.C. from a man called Hilarion to his wife, Alice. Hilarion to Alice, his wife, heartiest greetings. Know that we are still even now in Alexandria. Do not worry if when all others return, I remain in Alexandria. I beg and beseech of you to take care of the little child. And as soon as we receive wages, I will send them to you. If, good luck to you, you have a child, if it's a boy, let it live. If it is a girl, throw it out. That was 1 B.C., about the time, near the time that our Lord was born on the earth. That was the situation among families in the Roman Empire. That ancient civilization, and I continue to quote William Barclay, ancient civilization was merciless to the sickly or the deformed child. Seneca, a Roman statesman, writes, as if it was the commonest practice in the world, as indeed it was. And here's a quotation from Seneca, the Roman statesman. We slaughter a fierce ox. We strangle a mad dog. We plunge the knife into sickly cattle, lest they taint the herd. Children who are born weakly and deformed, we drown. End of quote. It was that kind of atmosphere and background that Paul wrote his advice here in Ephesians to children and to parents. And if we want to know what good Christianity has done to the world, we have only to point to the change in the status of women and children in our world today and in our nation. And I might even go so far as to say, if you look at some of the cultures in our world today and the way they treat women and children, you think they're back in the Roman Empire. But now we need to focus on the present. What does Paul say to you and to me, to us parents here today? First of all, he says, provoke not. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. This statement refers to a pattern of the parent's treatment of a child that builds up resentment over time. The NIV translation says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. So parents are to avoid causing their children to brood with anger. When children are provoked to anger in that parent-child relationship, it may affect all of their relationships with authority figures. So the question is, how does a parent provoke a child to anger? There are many ways. So we'll just name a few. Number one on my list is sometimes parents, perhaps even out of love, become too strict and overprotective with their children. And even as obedience is the guiding principle in the parent-child relationship, reasonableness is the key for parents. Any discipline, any guidance that we give to our children must be reasonable. It must be something that will not cause our children to go over the cliff. Often parents, in our relationship and our love for our children and wanting to protect them, we refuse to allow them to grow up, to grow in maturity, to grow in making their own decisions equal to the degree of maturity that they have reached. A teenager resents being treated like a 10-year-old. So the parents must pray for wisdom and commit their children to the Lord and trust Him to bring them to spiritual maturity. And I say again, commit them to the Lord. You see, that's what we're called to do, live a life of faith. And in my opinion, in our families, children are the most important treasure that we have. And we need to pray God to give us love and give us wisdom in our relationship, in our discipline, our teaching, and our training of our children, so that they will grow up without being provoked to the point of rebellion. And that's vitally important. If parents are unreasonable in the control and discipline of their children, then the children will be provoked to anger, and it is a catastrophe waiting to happen. Another way that we can provoke our children to anger is by playing favorites. Comparing one child with another is always the wrong thing to do. Every child has God's stamp on it. Every child is unique. Every child is different. We have a couple of biblical examples. The life of Isaac and Ishmael and Jacob and Esau. The problems that began in those family relationships thousands of years ago are still playing out in our world today. And we can place much of that blame at the feet of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. So, every child is different. And if because we look at one child as being more intelligent or better looking or more talented or more gifted or whatever, and we show favoritism because of that, I say to you that we are wrong and that we need to have a heart of love for every child that God has gifted us with. Never show favoritism to your children. Let every child in your family know that they are loved equally. Sometimes unrealistic expectations can provoke children to anger. Every child wants to excel and please their parents. But not every child has the same ability. Let your children be children. Remember that not every child is an A student. Not every child is a great athlete or a great musician or whatever category you want to name. But let your children be who God designed them to be. Another probably sore spot with children is constant nagging and criticism. Children, young people, resent it. Now there is a place for guidance, parents guiding the child, but this constant drip, drip, drip of daily nagging and criticism causes anger and resentment. No child should ever hear, "You're no good. You'll never amount to anything." Parents should seek to find an area where the child excels and finds ways to compliment them. Tell them how good they're doing. Brag on their achievements. Children need approval and encouragement far more than they need criticism and correction. A young person who is constantly criticized may also develop an attitude that says, "What's the use? I'm nothing but a failure." If all a parent does is tear them down, that child may just live up to their expectations. Then finally, verbal abuse. There's scads of others we could mention, but we don't have time this morning. Verbal abuse. No child should ever be berated and belittled by a verbally abusive parent. there's time for instruction, loving instruction in the life of the children. But when the parent in anger verbally abuses, criticizes their child, they are provoking them to anger, which will ultimately lead to rebellion. Then we need to provide for their needs. And I'm just, we're out of time here. And frankly, I ran out of time at home. So we're going to just give you this rough outline here. Provide needs is the next thing that parents and Paul says here, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is the same word as nourished in chapter 5, verse 59. This means that you meet all the needs of your children. And you pray, God, give me wisdom so that I can know how to provide, to bring my children up, to provide for all of their needs, both physical, emotional, and spiritual, that they can grow up to maturity to be the kind of people God created them to be. Then, number three, practice discipline. This probably would be a sermon in itself, but Paul said, bringing them up in the training of the Lord. And it is our responsibility to start when they're just born. And as they grow up day by day, we train them up to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to be the people God created them to be. Training means discipline. And without discipline, we have children gone wild. And I pray that we don't have any of that kind of children here in our church. And then last of all, proper instruction. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Admonition means teaching, instruction. Children need an environment of love. They need to know that parents care, that the parents are not turning them off, that the parents are listening to them. And they also need discipline. Discipline that is out of love, not out of anger. They also need teaching and instruction. Very few children are prepared for life. And frankly, it's sort of an accident if they make it. Unless we as parents do our job right. Conclusion. Well, that's the sermon that God gave me to preach. It may not have been too pleasant to our ears because it hits us right where we live. But that's good. That means that the Lord is speaking to your heart and my heart and helping us to grow. So, what are we going to do with this sermon that God gave us? Well, first of all, to the children and the young people here today, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. In His time, He will make that plan known to you. In the meantime, let me encourage you to obey and honor your parents. They love you. They want the best for you. Obey God's word and willingly put yourself under His authority. If you haven't been as obedient and respectful as you should have been, you might want to come to the altar today and ask God to forgive you and then go back and ask Mom and Dad for forgiveness too. Second, if you are a parent who has made some mistakes, you might need to come to the altar and make that right with God. You might even need to go to your children and apologize and let them know that there's going to be a change. Howard Hendricks said, "Children are not looking for perfect parents, but they are looking for honest parents." Third, there are some parents here today, who have tried your best, but your children are out of the Lord's will. You can bring them up before the Lord once more and trust Him to bring them to you and to the Lord. Trust God and stop beating yourself up over your children. Just know that God is in control of your life and of their life. And fourth and finally, there may be some here today who have never been saved. You've never believed in Jesus, received Him into your heart as your personal Savior. And God's Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart today. And you would like to come forward down this aisle, get in the altar, come share with the pastor. Say, "Today I want to believe in Jesus. I want to receive Him as my Savior. I want to live my life in obedience to His will, to be the best person that I can be." Let God lead and speak to you today. Richard, what number shall we sing? So would you stand together with me, and I'd like to pray first of all.